This is Wednesday, October 17th. It is a live show. We've got Pastor Dan and Sister Catlin with us from Messiah's Branch. And how's my audio coming through for you? Is it okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, you sound
good.
Just
fine.
Okay. Count 1, 2, 3
for me. 1, 2, 3
Okay. Well, I always have to make sure she speaks up. Anyway, but yeah, we're glad to be on with you. I heard a little bit of your previous program, but I didn't hear it to the end. I was busy. But so what do you want us to talk about tonight?
And we got to get Pastor Rick Bell on your show. Man, he has a testimony, Brother Dan, Sister Catlin, and I'll make an introduction for you. By the way, if you're just joining us tonight, welcome back. Brother Dan, Sister Catlin, I have been tuning into their broadcast, following their ministry for a very long time. And you know what? They have kept the faith, and they're doing a great job for Jesus, headquartered over there in Wichita, Kansas. And Brother, Sister Catlin, y'all can speak on anything the Lord puts on your heart tonight. We want some updates on what's going on and anything you'd like to talk about. But before you do, would you like to open us up in prayer?
Yeah, sure. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name we pray. Father, I just ask you to bless this program tonight. Give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth, Father. So please, bless this program and give us the right words. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well,
hey, amen. Welcome back.
Go ahead.
I just want to say welcome back to y'all, and great to have you back on. I think our last time I was on with y'all, I was getting ready to go to Jakarta. And, man, I'll tell you, that trip knocked me back like 30 days. We had a lot of problems with our hardware after some of these Skype updates and Windows updates. So we were going to get you back on sooner, but thank you for being patient with me. We're glad to have you back on tonight. With that, the mic's over to y'all.
Well, amen. Let me comment first on that. I have one computer that was my wife's computer over to our house that we have disabled into being, won't take any updates. It stays at Windows 7 because I hate Microsoft every time. It seems like every time they update, and by the way, Skype is owned by Microsoft,
oh, yeah,
or was owned by Google, Windows, whatever. And so every time it updates, it seems to mess something up. And so, yeah, we've been fighting with that with Skype. And so for the folks out there that you know, if you've got Skype and you don't like it, you just take Skype out of your computer and then go look up Windows Classic or Skype Classic, and it will allow you to load it into your computer, and it's the same thing. Just ignore the update signal. But anyway, having said that, you know, since we have been on this program talking in the last, what, 2 or 3 minutes, you know that, well, what's the same letter? What's that number there?
Look, it's one every, there's 170, 71, 73, 75, yeah, that's going.
That's how many babies are being aborted since we refreshed this page a few minutes ago. Those are murder. Those are sacrifices to the devil.
Worldwide today, 101,123, 4, 5, 6, 7, that's how fast it's going. One every second.
Mercy, that's horrible.
Go ahead.
Oh, that's horrible. Continue on.
It is.
Okay. And so a lot of people do not realize that, you know, this is absolutely, you know, this is sacrificial to the devil. The Bible talks completely about it. And, you know, when you want to consider this, that now, Mom, now let me ask you a question. A baby in the womb, you know, it has a soul. It starts at birth. So the question is a baby in the womb sinful?
No, it's a creation from God. It's a blessing.
Right, and so it hasn't came out and been accountable for anything yet, right?
No.
No, so then that baby, if it dies in the womb, let's say that something accidental happens, then the baby goes where? It goes to be its father, right, so to speak.
Well, yeah, all children are saved until they're of age to know the difference between right and wrong.
Right, okay, so that's the point. So, you know, in the United States, since Roe versus Wade, there's been 60 million, almost 61 million babies aborted since Roe versus Wade back in 1973, which those would, you, so if a baby is, going to, you know, saved, so to speak, and that means it's a Christian. So those are, that's a slaughter of Christianity, and that's what it's
about.
Well,
the number that's worldwide since 1980 is really something. 1,511,857,962.
That's worldwide. And
that's
so
worldwide since 1980.
Okay, but my point is so what do you think the father thinks about that?
Well,
think he's real happy about it?
That's why we're in the end times. It's getting close.
Well, if you go and look at these things, if you look at these things in the right statistic, then you realize these are more slaughters than there. We talk about biblical times and how people were slaughtered or Christians were slaughtered. This is astronomical compared to that. And that's not including the grown human Christians that are being slaughtered every year. And so people want to know whether we're in the end times. We are clearly in the end times. But we're going to focus a little bit on abortion and go to a couple things and talk a little bit about Thanksgiving at the Mission Church. And by the way, this is something that you didn't even know. You know our last newsletter that went out, that one we talked about the last time when we was on here? You know, we've been doing a mail-out newsletter?
Yeah.
Okay, well, guess where it's at?
Where?
Omega Man, you want to say something?
Tell me.
You don't know? You tell her. I didn't tell her what I did with it.
You put it online?
He has it in his magazine.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you put it in your magazine?
Oh, yes. Yes, ma'am. We're excited to be able to carry the entire newsletter you did in the magazine. We got it just in time.
Oh, really?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
That's something else.
Yeah, I'll show it to you later, but I just neglected to tell you, I guess.
Huh.
You know, so yeah, anyway, so folks, when you go over there and look at the Mega Man newsletter, please have a look at our newsletter and consider that it's a mom and pop type newsletter that we've been putting out, just like Messiah's Branch. Messiah's Branch is like a mom and pop church. You know, the point being is it's like a mom and pop newsletter. Anyway,
yeah,
I've been doing it.
It
since for a long time. Back to you.
I love your newsletter. Y'all have been doing that for many years, and it's fantastic. And, you know, Sister Catlin, I've been wanting to do a magazine for a long time and just couldn't figure it out for the life of me. And after many years, God one day gave me a game plan to get it done, and I thought, you know what I'm going to do? We're going to make this like a print version of what we do on the radio. We're just going to give a platform for the men and women of God to come over and share any articles they'd like to send in. And, you know, many people criticize the size of it because this one we just put out was 300 pages. They
wow.
Said, they said, you're not doing a magazine.
Yeah.
That's a book. Nobody's going to read that. So people tried to talk me out of it and said, you know, 10 pages or 30 pages, and those are good. That's the standard out there. But I said, hey, in the world of digital, it can be as big as you want. It's not like we have to print it out. Now, that would be a whole different ballgame. So I said, hey, we'll just keep expanding it.
Oh, you're doing a digital magazine.
Uh-huh. Yes, ma'am. And so I thought, let me get a hold of Brother Pastor Dan, and if I can get permission, I will put your newsletter inside the mag, and we shipped it out to everybody who's on the mailing list because I want to promote Messiah's Branch. And, folks, if you haven't picked up your free copy, get it and read the Messiah's Branch newsletter. It's fantastic, and you can go over, of course, and subscribe at their website. And we'll give that contact out information out tonight. But I believe in the mission that you're doing. And as I mentioned, you have kept the faith, and you're going to hear from Jesus, well done, my good and faithful servants. Enter into the joy of the Lord. So back to you, Pastor Dan.
All right, amen. And so we'll get into the Mission Church a little while later. You know, just right now, I want to get some of this out of the way. It was printed on me. I just want people to realize how crazy this is that's going on. And people just, you know, you mention abortion to them and they kind of just yawn or whatever, but it is a slaughter of human beings. Now, the person that basically is the founder of abortions in America, and she's almost a goddess, her name is Margaret Sanger. And I'm going to ask my wife to read this little statement from Margaret Sanger. Read this here.
Minorities crammed in impoverished areas in inner cities should not be having so many babies. And, of course, these minorities, including most of American immigrants, are inferior in the human race as are the physical and mental handicaps. We should require mandatory sterilizations of those less desirable and promote easy access to abortion And since sex should be a free-for-all, we must provide birth control and abortions to teenagers, too. It's all for the greater good and for a more intelligent, liberated, healthier population. Really.
Now, that's for the hero. This is said by the hero of the abortion industry. They don't talk about that much, but. And so one of the biggest people that they eliminated is, it's self-explanatory. But so here's another statement by her, and it's recorded in a 1939 letter to an abortion ally. This is from Margaret Sanger to somebody else. Go ahead.
We do not want word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. Planned Parenthood is largely the reason why black babies are aborted in America 3 times more often than white babies, and Hispanic preborns are killed 1.5 times more than white.
Okay. So right now, one of the biggest proponents, in fact, the liberals, worry that if they lose the black vote, and that's why actually there's immigration, we'll get into that in a second, but if they lost even a third of the black vote in America, they would never win another election. And so that's actually why they're important, all the immigrants, so-called illegals, immigrants. I don't like to call them immigrants. Immigrant is somebody that comes here legally. It's not somebody that has crossed our border. In fact, it is an illegal alien. That's what's put down in the law, and Trump repointed that out recently. But my point is this, is most black people don't understand this factor, that this is what a core belief of the Democrats is abortion. In fact, now we're seeing movie stars such as Oprah Winfrey, and they're not only celebrating, they're saying, shout your abortion like it's something to be proud of, and that it's part of health care for women, and that going against it is going against health care for women. But, you know, an abortion, if you really read about it, it's a very traumatic thing. Now, a woman not only has to live with guilt afterwards, but in a late-term abortion, you know, it's a very, very dangerous thing. They can, you know, internally hurt a woman by doing this, which I showed you earlier. Give the brief description of what I showed you in this. Now, this is how a baby from 23 weeks old and up is aborted. Go ahead. Show it.
They use a pair of hemostats and go in there and pull them out piece by piece.
They start what? Like pulling their limbs off.
Yeah, first
they pull their legs off. The baby is alive while this is happening. At 23 weeks or 24 weeks, this baby is viable. This baby is alive. It has a soul. It feels pain. What do you think it would feel like, Omega Man, if I grabbed some forceps and yanked your leg off? Would that hurt?
Oh, you bet. This is barbaric, what they're doing.
What if I do it piece by piece?
That's the way they do it, unless it's breech baby. Then they crush the skull and
first.
Yeah, and then start pulling it apart.
Right, but if a baby's in there normally and can come out normally, then that's how they're done. They're torn apart. And then afterwards, to make sure they got all the baby out of it, they have to take, which it isn't there, but I looked at a video a little while ago, they take this forceps thing and scrape all the inside of where the baby was at. And that's where a woman can get damaged and internally bleed. And if you press that wrong button, we're going to be off the air.
I'm not pushing anybody.
Okay. your arm's close to it. Anyway, point being, it's a slaughter of human beings. And, you know, and that is a sin the Father sees. These slaughters matter, and it also points to where we are at in the end time and how people are just living with a complete and utter lie. Does abortion bother you at all, Mega Man? I mean, what do you think about it?
Brother and Sister Catlin, it makes me want to go out and shoot somebody right now, because I'm going to tell you something, that this stuff that is going on is an abomination in the nostrils of God. This is murder. Now listen, I've got some good news, Brother Sister Catlin. We'll give it to you tonight. My wife came in with a pregnancy test the other day and said, I think I'm pregnant.
Yay.
Smiling, and I was smiling, and she said, let's go check it out. So we went over 2 days ago to the family doctor who delivered our first baby Jeremiah 2 years ago. and they did a sonogram, and I looked up there, and I saw a living being in her stomach on the sonogram. I said, how old is the baby? And the doctor said, about 5.5 weeks. Now, that baby is alive. It was alive from the point of conception, when that sperm hit the egg. Okay? And God breathed the spirit into it. And, of course, it's beginning to grow already, and it's going to grow, and pretty soon they would be able to tell you the sex. And it's got a heartbeat. These are living beings, Brother and Sister Catlin, that are being aborted, murdered in the womb, and this should not be. Back to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Angry.
Let me say this. You know, the scientists recently found out, I don't know if everybody's aware of this, but when the egg and the sperm hit together, there's actually a spark, spark of light that has been detected and can be seen when that happens. Now,
that's life. Yes, exactly. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely. That's
right.
The Father, to me, in my opinion, because I won't know until I'm standing in front of the Father and Son, but I believe that spark is the soul hitting the baby right at that moment of conception, and there, so it's a living, breathing human soul. And so now here's the point. The Father said that, you know, in the time, well, Yeshua said it would be as in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, in that time period. And, you know, beyond the fact that there were nations and even Israel fell into it at one point that were sacrificing children and they were in trouble for it. But we're also talking about the normalization of abnormal sex, which we're talking about. Homosexuality and all this transgenderism, you know, they take three-year-old, four-year-old child and do operations on them because they want to be a woman or they want to be a man. And a child at that age is not responsible to make that decision.
No.
They can't say that's what they want to be. And so it's just craziness, but we're seeing a huge rush to it. You got a comment? Go ahead, Omega.
Oh, I was just thinking about what you were saying there. A friend of mine, a pastor in England, sent me a newspaper cover from England, and it was showing the number of children who are receiving sex changes, you know, the age of like 5 years old. It's horrible.
That's terrible.
You know, a child's not able to make that decision, and you know what? What decision should there be made? Either you've got male genitals or you've got female parts there. It's very simple what you are. And you know what?
Yeah.
This is eugenics going on. This goes back to the same demons that were working through Adolf Hitler, which were trying to create the perfect species and were killing the Jewish people. And then Margaret Sanger's on record. She wants to kill the black man. And you know, I saw this tweet up today on President Trump's Twitter page. Somebody didn't like him and got up there and said, you know, because of you, we're going to have to go back to the days of the coat hanger for abortions.
Oh,
and you know
no.
what? I got up there and I tweeted her back. And I said, stop aborting your children, murdering them, and the issue is moot, isn't it? That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
They want to murder with extreme prejudice.
Well,
and they like their convenience. Go for it.
Let's go with this. It's what it is. It's the consequence. Look, number one, the first thing a woman and man and woman could do, you know, is try not having sex till you're married. Okay.
Right.
Well, I get that. People, hormones get carried away or whatever, and I'm not condemning or not condemning. I'm just stating a fact. So, but they should realize that before they ever get into that situation that it could produce a child. If it produces a child, then, you know, you need to do something prior to that, some sort of birth control, you know. But the point is, it's the consequence of having that sex. But, you know, it would be one thing if it was a medical life or death thing or something, but I saw some of the reasons why I was scanning before this program and looking at things just to see if there was anything new, so to speak. And I came across the testimony of this one woman, and she was in her 23rd, week, trimester, or whatever you call it, week, I guess. And she was wanted to go on this cruise.
Oh.
And they wouldn't let her on the cruise because she had, she was that far along pregnant. They didn't want to deliver the baby on the cruise. And so she went and murdered her child.
Oh, man.
In order to go on a cruise. So this cruise thing was more important than a human life. That's just, and various reasons. There's one woman that brags on the world's record. She had 120 some odd abortions, and it's going all over the Facebook. They're now celebrating it, like Oprah Winfrey. She screams it. Celebrate your abortion. Celebrate it. What do you mean celebrate it? These new, what they call this last stage of feminism, is acting like you're not even a real feminist until you've had an abortion. And that is what they're putting on. And you know what? It's starting in this corruption. It starts in two places usually. It starts on the East Coast or the West Coast, and that's where the medias are. In fact, they call us people in the middle of the country here. They call us the flyover country. But my point is that corruption. And Dimitri Dudeman, I don't know if you remember Dimitri Dudeman,
sir.
But
for sure,
that prophecies, and he pointed to places on the East and West Coast that were said by the angels. It pointed to them and said, these are Sodom and Gomorrah, and one day they will burn. And also pointed to Las Vegas, some other ones. And
we'll
get into that sometime in another program. But the point is these are very evil places, but it's filtering into the rest of society.
Pastor...
Go ahead,
Sister Kat. Yes, ma'am.
There was a protest post that was on, I think you even posted it. It was, I can't even believe it. It's stuck in my head. It's so sad. The sign that somebody would even write is sad. The only good baby is a dead baby. Why would somebody even think that?
The only good baby is a dead baby. Well, what's really crazy about that is you see women saying do it, and you see this man doing it. Well, do they even think that if you abort every baby that they wouldn't exist?
They don't even think about that.
And here's part of the point. What's going on in America right now, and I'm gonna point to America because I don't live anyplace else. This is what I have to deal with. But here's the point. You have children out in the street. Their parents taken to these rallies where the homosexuals, all dress up and transvestite and all these things, and they bring them into kindergartens to read stories to them, and into libraries to read stories to them, and to tell them how this is normal. Well, normal means what? Last time I checked, normal means what at least 50% or more of the people are doing, or 50% or more is happening. The percentages of these were dramatically low. Before the last couple of years, you could look for the stats on how many people in the United States due to the last census identified as male, as homosexual, lesbian, the LGB, whatever it is, community. How many identified as that? It was less than, you ready for this? How many people do you think it is?
Less than 2%.
No, it's 7%. 7% in the United States identify as that. The rest is just all corruption. And, believe it or not, Omega Man, this is all part of, a communist plot. I can point back to the Communist Manifesto and show you right where it says that they would do these things and get America to accept these things as being normal, in order to bring down the morals of the country and to destroy America. It is actually part of a plot. It sounds crazy, but no, it isn't. It's actually happening. Back to you. You got any comments?
No question in my mind about it. This is a satanic plot being acted out in real time to kill the human race. There was a report the other day about Japan they've got an epidemic over there, and if they don't change quick what they're doing, the Japanese people are going to cease to exist because, number one, nobody's having sex hardly anymore, and there's no children being produced. And CBN went over and interviewed some people in the street and said, do you have any plans to get married? Are you dating anybody? They said, no, I'm too busy with my job right now. One lady said, you know, I'm seeking my career path. And another one, man said, I don't have time. I work hard all day and I'm just tired and I don't think I have enough money to support a family. So you've got this whole new generation of people. They're not having sexual relations anymore. Now, naturally, that needs to be inside marriage. But the point they're making here is they're not having children. And then you got groups that have just one child. Well, one is not going to replace mom and dad. So over time, you could have entire populations die out. And it got to be so bad over in Russia that Putin started a program to encourage people to have children, give them incentives because the Russian people were dying out as a race. And so, you know, when we talk about nobody wanting to have children or people like Oprah saying, let's rejoice in our freedom, what, your freedom to murder without going to jail? Because that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And not many people having children anymore. Hey, keep this up. And what you're going to have is you're not going to have the human species anymore, and that's what Satan wants. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He hates every person walking the globe, whether they believe in Satan or not. Doesn't matter. He still hates them. He hopes that you don't believe right. in him. You don't believe in Jesus Christ, Yeshua. And this is a plot by Satan and his host of hell to kill every one of us. That's what the Word of God says. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy.
Yeah.
It's hard enough.
Amen.
Let's fight on the outside.
Let's go with this.
Go ahead.
A couple of things. Yes, the same things happen in America. The population is dying off, and at least on what we consider normal Americans, blacks and whites, whatever, you know, is dying off, is not repopulating. But, you know, there's actually, and I'll go to the immigrants real quick, the illegal aliens. You know, this is actually, a UN wrote something, I'm not sure of the date, it's in the 60s, I've looked it up several times, but it's actually called replacement populations. Mm. America was slated as one of the countries that they wanted to do replacement population. And what's that mean? They want to replace the population with a population that they can govern. And this is just what we call nowadays, we call the globalist, but the globalist is just saying, is just Satan in the Bible because, you know, that's what Satan is. He wants to rule the world. That's the spirit of Antichrist. He wants to rule the world. And so they're trying to have people to the point where they can do it, and they're using all these wicked corruptions to do it. The spiritual battle that is going on in America is just crazy. All of these things that they do, like they also celebrate, it was pointed out to me by a brother in your show, Mike, pointed this out to me on NPR the other day. He was listening to him talk about how scientists are close to being able just to take the woman's eggs from two different women and put them together and make a baby without men's sperm so that lesbians could have a child without a man because they hate men. And so, but this is a celebration of the devil. You think these things aren't being fueled by the devil, you're just crazy. There is a spiritual battle out there that is just crazy, and unless you're right with the Father and Yeshua, you are not going to get the protection that you need in these times. The door is open so wide for all these spiritual things and the spiritual battle. That's why, you know, your program's important because you do a lot of spiritual warfare. That is a major problem, and it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. Just so much demonic activity.
Okay, you said take two females, put them together for a baby. How is that even possible? That's not possible.
Scientists have it almost ready to happen. I don't know, haven't looked into the statistics.
It'll be
of
a genetic, a synthetic baby because there's no way.
But to them, it's still a baby.
A synthetic
there,
baby,
mother,
really?
What they're doing?
A synthetic baby.
Is there
made
taking
up
like
two females?
Two females and a male. or what they're doing
no
is...
No mail. They don't want no mail. He's got two females. I don't know how they can do that.
Well, I don't know either because I didn't listen to the report, but I know they've been experimenting
with it. It'd have to be a clone because God was real specific.
Here's
man and woman make baby, not man and man. It was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve or, yeah.
I think they may try to do it.
I'm glad both of you feel the same way because it is craziness, but they have come to the point in science that they are doing these things in messing with DNA and changing things and bringing things back. Just like I told you not long ago, they said within 10 years, and especially it's coming out of Russia, there will be real Jurassic Parks, and they won't be mechanical monsters.
Didn't you tell me they were taking humans and cloning, cutting parts and putting them with dogs and cats and making half human, half cat? Somebody told
half,
me that.
That was me.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
They were putting human brains, they were growing human brains in mice. But they were making sure that they exterminated them quickly before they could come to any
Somebody's been watching too many Mars Attacks movies.
They're doing some weird stuff out there. I've seen a picture of a human ear that they grew on the back of a rat. And I said, this can't be possible. But, of course, they're growing human organs in, in pigs. They have a new cow out there.
I heard that one.
That it actually is able to make blood that's compatible with a human for transplants. And, look, this is mixing the seed. Now, I don't remember all the specifics, but there was three people used to make a baby. It was either two men and one woman or two women and one man. And apparently the baby's supposed to have the DNA of all three. Now, that's an abomination to God. God didn't intend for people to do this. And we're getting back into the Genesis 6 days when we talk about these things.
Okay,
and
but we can let's go back a little further. Here's one of the very first, and people miss it all the time. One of the very first laws that our Almighty gave us was everything
after
its own
kind.
You're not supposed to mix the species. You're not supposed to
male and female.
Right. Anyway, you're right. Absolutely. But that's laid out in, in the creation. In the first 7 days, it was said over and over. It said everything after its own kind, it was good.
Right.
And so that's what and you're right. Genesis 6 exposed what the angels were doing, and they were coming down and created all these abominations. This was all learned from fallen angels.
Right.
This evil was. But let me go to this. Amen. We're not supposed to be there.
But
trying to change direction. So
I think he was telling us a story about the three people. Was he done with that?
Okay. Anyway, I want to say one other thing. And I want to talk about the church because I want to have about 15 minutes or so to talk about that.
Okay.
So, there we go. Anyway, it's not easy to make a woman change her mind on something. Anyway, one of the other sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, and this will take us into the church. While clearly the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was absolutely homosexuality, and they were also having sex with animals and all kinds of things. But in Ezekiel, we also see this. 16:49-50 declares, now this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, unconcerned, and they did not help the poor and needy. They were haughty, and did detestable things before me. And the word Hebrew word translated detestable refers to something that is morally disgusting, and it's the same word that's used that refers to homosexuality as an abomination. So it's basically the same word. So we're seeing here the word that a translator in one instance says abomination, the other is detestable, but it was done because they weren't helping the poor and they were doing they were doing bad things. All over the Bible, we can see where there's neglect of the poor and the defenseless. And when a society doesn't stand up for them, then, they have been punished severely by the Father. In America, 1 in 6 families are hungry every day. 1 in 6. Now, that shouldn't be that way in the United States of America.
There's so much, how much food's wasted, thrown in dumpsters, and not allowed to be given to the poor or needy? Well, and tons of food is wasted and thrown away that could be given to shelters or homeless people. It's just sad.
Well, and there's a lot of food that while these companies are able to give, they don't give because they don't want to. They don't want to give away edible food because, you know, it's a money thing. They can write it off if they throw it in the trash.
They give it, they can't.
You know, well, and not only that, they don't want to give away a person doesn't want to give away the product that they sell, you know, and so it comes back into be a money thing, you know, a money thing. So anyway, so that's what we do. We have the Wichita Mission Church, and what do we do over there, Mother? Tell them.
Oh, whatever is needed, we do it.
Well, that's
everything. You need it, we got it, it's yours.
Okay, we'll be a little more specific.
We feed, clothe, pray, doctors, give rides, you name it. Give phone books, give Bibles.
So, okay.
Teach
well,
scriptures.
We're in a really good part of town, too, aren't we?
Oh, no, we're not. They had a standoff Tuesday night. We had to go down the alley to leave. They had it blocked off
wow.
for a 5-block radius, but all around the church. And then tonight, same area, Broadway. This was at 10th in Topeka. Today, it was at 10th or 8th in Topeka Tuesday, 10th in Topeka today. North, a car tried to cut off another car, and road rage, shot off 2 shots and hit a 4-year-old child in the stomach that had 6 kids in the car under 10 years old, all because somebody didn't want to slow down and take time and let somebody, you know, get where they're going.
Well, but really, what about out on the street in front of the place? Surely there isn't any prostitutes or drug dealers or anything.
Yeah, that's the main. That Broadway, north and south, clearing the city limits is all prostitution, drugs, you name it. That's the crime. That's the crime drag strip is Broadway.
Right, and so and we're located. The Mission
we're
Church
right
is located on Broadway.
Yes,
you know,
right off Kellogg. Yeah.
So what? We're among sinners. Is that where we're at?
Well, that's where you're supposed to be. How are you going to save somebody if they're already saved?
So we didn't build it in the middle of the best part of town, huh?
No, we didn't build it. We remodeled it, but yeah. We did build the church.
The only money I had in my pocket that when we got this place was $300 that this guy, he's going by the name of a Mega Man right now. You know, he had a little different handle then. But, and don't say the handle. Anyway, and that would be you. You gave me I had $300 in my pocket when we got this building that we're in. Although you contributed a lot more money to the remodel. At that point, I only had $300 in my pocket, Omega.
But we didn't make, we had to wait a couple, we had to wait till we had more money to actually make the deal.
Yeah.
But
absolutely.
when I claimed the building, I got
well,
a,
how
we
did
drove,
you claim the building?
We drove by and seen a for sale or for rent to own. Lease to own or something like that on the front of the building.
Actually, it had both on the sign.
And so we stopped and it was a snowstorm and we was walking around the building and then you go, where's she at? And I kept walking and I made circles around you a couple times. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm claiming this. This is the size branch. I walked it 7 times and within a month we had it.
Wow.
Had a deal to get it. It took us 7 or 8 months to get it after that because we had to completely redo the electrical and all that. But yeah, I claimed it. The Lord gave it to us and we actually paid $50 less than what we were paying for rent in the strip mall we were in.
Yeah, amen.
And with the option to own.
You ought to remember a little bit of this, don't you?
And that whole story's on...
Yes.
No, it isn't right now.
Oh, it's not on the website
anymore? Well, yes, I remember.
Well, that website... let me answer your question. The website is under work, which I need somebody to volunteer. If somebody out there hears this program, if you're good at doing websites, I need a little bit of help to get it updated. And so technically messiahsbranch.org, which was our website for years, is basically not all the files are there transferred from an other place. And so I have all those files and it will all go back up. But right now You can't look it up.
But what I'm saying is all the remodel pictures from day one and all that, you still got all those, right?
Yes, absolutely. Well, those remodel pictures are online in different places already.
We converted a club into a homeless outreach church mission church,
yeah.
Yeah.
Now, and mission church, go ahead. Let him say something.
What days and times are you open over there, and what's a typical day like for you when you open up the doors?
Oh, you can't tell. It's always different. There's always something going on at Messiah's Branch.
But I'll tell you what did hit my heart Tuesday. We'll go with Tuesday. Now, we've got this telephone booth that we, you know, 99% of the time, none of us that, like Mom or I or my children or somebody there that's helping us, you know, that are not homeless or, you know, we don't answer this phone. It's for the homeless and poor to come in and use. It's like in a little phone booth. Once in a super great while, when I hear it ringing and there's nobody else there, you know, I'll pick up the phone just, you know, and say Messiah's Branch. 90% of the time when I do that, they always just hang up because they're calling to talk to somebody that's there, one of the people. Well, but here's what happened Tuesday. When I picked up the phone, and it was before we was open, and it was a grandma pleading for a place for her, for a woman to go, you know, and I gave her some suggestions and told her that, you know, she could get back with me, and she hung up pretty quickly when she found out that I didn't have a roof for them. Well, so that was one. And then, you know, I was telling Mike, this volunteer that comes, he's, him and his wife, I was discussing with him about the plight of women in Wichita. You know, what's really crazy, Omega Man, and in Wichita, if you're a woman and you go homeless, there's no walk-in shelter. Period. There are a few shelters for women, but they're always full. But there is a walk-in shelter for men if you get a TB test and want to put up with all the weird things that go on there. I don't want to down anybody's ministry, so I won't go into that. But I got a lot of men that absolutely refuse to go there. But technically, there is a place for them, so to speak. Well, but let's go back to the women. But a woman or a woman with children, probability of them finding a place in 19 years of trying to find beds for women, I've only been successful a few times.
Very few.
And in that case, I've put it out on the internet in dire situations to my email list, and I'm sure you've seen some of the posts that I say, I got somebody here and they need a room for a few days or something, and people over the internet will send me money and I'll get them a room. But anyway, in this instance, I didn't even have time to confer with the woman because she hung up. So I was telling Mike about this, a volunteer that comes and loves to help him and his wife. And then at the end of the day, the phone rang again. Now, this is also after people gone. And so for me to answer the phone 2 days in a row, I mean, 2 times in the same day is really just completely abnormal. And so at the end of the day, I answered the phone again. And I said, "Hello, Messiah's Branch." And they said, "Well," and I said, "Well, you know, we're closed right now." And he said, "No, what I need to know is I have two women.
Oh, my.
And I said, "Let me get this straight. You have two women that you need a bed for tonight?" And he said, "Yeah, absolutely." Well, and I said, "Well, we're not able to do that." And again, before I could finish talking to him to be able to give him information or maybe help him out, they hung up. But here's my point. Then I told Mike, I said, "Listen, look," I said, you was witness to the second one, and the first one was before you got here, but I didn't answer the phone all day long. How many other people were calling in for women for a bed? And that's just utterly nuts. For a town that has hundreds and hundreds of churches in it, and the amounts of money, there were millionaires. Wichita, Kansas has almost, it used to be, 10 years ago, it had the most millionaires per area than any place else in the United States.
And the sad thing is, a few years back, they funded a brand new animal shelter, $1 million animal shelter, but they can't fund a woman's shelter, really?
Well, that's because the agent, well, here's the kicker to that, or an updated shelter that's actually safe for men to go into that they won't get, I won't go into it because it's both racial and has to do with homosexuality and a lot of things. I don't want to down what anybody else does. But my point is this, they don't want another shelter. They don't want a safe place. And they now listen, when we first came into this, I wouldn't, you know, remember when we did the rallies downtown and all that, and we got people right to the point. People want and would fund one in Wichita, Kansas. But the problem is every time, you know, somebody truthful points it out to them, they go to the agencies and they go to the city and they ask them, they say, well, is what this person said is true? Here's what the agencies, the female agencies usually say, because I set this up with a newsman and we actually caught him at it one time. But then the news guy wouldn't print it because he was a liberal. Okay. A woman went to, I said, hey, I called him up. I said, there's a woman trying to get in a shelter and she's got a baby in a stroller and they won't let her in. And so he said, well, that can't be true. And I said, well, why don't you go over and talk to him? And he said, yeah, I will, you know. And so he went over and he talked to him, and they told him this. They said, yes, it's true that we've had to turn the woman and the baby away, but she told the newsman, there's lots, that's a lie, there's lots, there is more than one, but said there's lots of female shelters for women and children in this city, another big lie. And between all of us, well, we may be full, between all of us, we're helping absolutely everyone. It's a bold-faced lie because, you know, then he checked with the other shelters we called around and not a shelter had a bed or a place for this woman and a baby. But the point is they want it to run that way. I sit on some of their boards. I was invited to and been to their meetings early on when we started this. And I was just sickened because it was the agencies themselves that said we want no more shelters and we're fine, we can use more money for what we're doing, but we do not wish to expand. And that's why the homeless problem is there, the homeless and poor, and we're talking about women. They all the time, they have these things over in Wichita, they talk about how they want to help the prostitutes, like what's right out on the street. Mike freaked out, he didn't realize it. He said, well, are some, have you ever seen any of these prostitutes you're talking about? I said, Mike, I bet you over half the women that were in here today were prostitutes,
right,
and or retired prostitutes that were in here eating food today. And he said, really? And I said, yeah. I said, you can see some of them later tonight. They'll be right out in front of our building, you know. And, you know, that shocked him. But they talk about what it takes to get women out of trafficking. And the biggest thing you could do is when they get, let's say they've lost a job and they're just like a man. They lost a job. They lost their apartment. They're in the street. Or they come out, domestic event, something happens and maybe they get beat up and there's no place for them. So they're in the street. So what happens if they had a bed and a place to go at that point, they wouldn't be out there to fall prey to these people that turn them into prostitutes and get them hooked on drugs. Or when the woman just completely disappears and never seen from again. They were either murdered or they were sold off into slavery, which is a real reality thing. Because let me tell you, the Arabs and people like that, they want to buy them left and right. They want American women, and so do Mexicans and so on and so forth. I don't know what's so appealing about it, but they want American Western women, and they're stolen all the time and so on, and they're snatched right off the street.
Right by Messiah's Branch Church, we had that little, well, she told us she was 16, but turned out she was only 12, and then she disappeared, and they found her, and then she ran away again, and then they found her in a motel with a 50-year-old man and connected him to a sex ring, and they arrested him, and then the other two that was connected in the sex ring is two blocks away from the church on Main on Market. Two blocks.
Well, we're in the middle of it. That's the point, and that's where Yeshua was at. He was among the sinners and the people that need it, you know. And but because of our location and things, and because we're not an incorporated church, we are a church by every biblical standard, and even by what the IRS says, if you want to donate to us, you can donate to us. We'll give you a thank you note. You can claim it as a tax deduction. People have been doing it. We are now in our 19th year operation. We'll start our 20th year operation come around when we get in June.
And this will be our 20th Thanksgiving meal with the people, because our first one was in...
Was in what?
Got on my brain, 1999 was our first. Was our first Thanksgiving. No, 2000 was our first Thanksgiving.
I want you to tell me,
I'm glad
you mentioned that, because I wanted to ask you about the Thanksgiving coming up, which is only a month away. How many turkeys do you need and other things, and how can people support this? Because, folks, it's not good for Thanksgiving to come. People don't be able to enjoy some turkey. We can help out, not only with this day, but on a regular basis. I want to see you all out there get behind Messiah's Branch and support it, because I've known them since 2003. When Steve Quill made mention of you, and I looked you up on the website and began to follow your program, and they're the real deal.
Yeah.
Folks, they're helping people.
Steve Quill was real helpful. He gave us and we mentioned on the last program, I think.
Yes.
He gave us a huge donation of food that got us started, and he actually heard the audible voice of the Father that knocked him off of. He said it about knocked me off my forklift. When he told him to stand with us. But talk about Thanksgiving a minute.
Well, I don't need onions. I have 100 pounds of onions that's already been donated, and we don't need potatoes. I had 300 pounds of potatoes that's already been donated, which we've used half of them, but I've got enough for Thanksgiving, so I don't need potatoes and onions or carrots because I had 50 pounds of carrots donated already. But I need turkeys, and the best way to help with the turkeys is not only to donate the turkey, but to cook it and debone it and bring and deliver it ready to serve. That helps me.
That is if you happen to be listening to this in the Wichita area.
In the Wichita area. Otherwise, you can just send a donation and say it's for the turkeys, and I'll just go buy them when they go on sale, because I wait till they go down to like 69, 89 cents a pound,
right,
and buy as many as I can.
Let's go.
I can serve turkey at other times if I don't use them all on Thanksgiving. I still have meat.
Okay.
What do you think it'll cost?
I'm watching the clock, so I make sure I get all this in here.
No, we're okay.
I got a couple things. Let me get real quick.
Take your time there, Brother Dan. No rush. But before you continue, this is actually our last show until 3. We're doing a 7-show marathon day, so we're all right. But let me ask you a question. These turkeys, what would it cost to buy the turkey? So if someone out there tuning in says, hey, I want to buy a turkey and sponsor them, what would it cost to do that?
Yeah, what's the cost for a turkey?
Usually it's about $17 and $25. It depends on how many pounds there are, but I try to get the biggest ones they have. So right around $20 a piece.
Yeah, hey, $20 a turkey.
That's nothing.
That's a safe margin.
Wow.
But I usually – go ahead.
So a turkey for $20, that's pretty cheap. That's a good deal. What else do you need?
Like I said, I usually wait till – I go over the day before Thanksgiving, and that's usually when I go buy the turkeys, or the Friday before Thanksgiving. Okay, we go on Tuesdays and Fridays. The Friday before the Thanksgiving week is when I go buy the turkeys, because then I put them in the walk-in. We have a big walk-in refrigerator and thaw them, and then I just stay over there overnight and cook turkeys all night. So I have four cookie turkers. I got four turkey cookers. And an oven.
Say
there,
that
so
three
I
more
can,
times
so
fast.
I can cook 9 turkeys at a time at the church. So
how many turkeys?
How many?
Okay, you're an impossible problem. I'll tell you. Anyway,
how many turkeys do you think you need?
I'm going to look today
for Thanksgiving and the day after. I'm sure. How many turkeys do you think you need?
Yeah,
to pull it off?
And that's another thing. We feed Thanksgiving Day, and then we feed the leftovers on the Friday following Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving goes on Thursday.
We have Thanksgiving dinner 2 days. Here's the big difference between the 2 days. On Thanksgiving Day, everybody gets to come through and go, oh, I want some of that and this, and they pick out everything on their plate.
And they eat as much as they want.
Yeah, and as much as they want, and pies and all that. And the next day, on Friday, we serve what's left over. So we make sure there's plenty of turkey, dressing, and mashed potatoes, and then whatever else is left over. But on that day, you get a heaping plate of food, but it's what we put on it.
Right.
And so we technically have Thanksgiving 2 days. And Thanksgiving is our biggest day of the year. And the big thing I like about Thanksgiving is one day you don't have to worry about being politically correct or anything else. Nobody complains about Thanksgiving. And there's the big deal. Did we not love Thanksgiving before we ever did it over there?
Right, and we made them our family, so it's just like being at home for Thanksgiving. You can eat all you want till you roll out the door or crawl on your knees, however you want. But I don't let them take anything with them on Thanksgiving, because they can eat all they want, but I have to have enough to serve on Friday, so
sure.
I don't let them have go plates on Thanksgiving.
Right.
But on Friday
good.
They can have a plate and a go plate.
Oh, that's nice. How many turkeys do you think you need, Sister Katla?
Well, last year I think I did 18. I'd have to look at the book, but we do around that every year, 15, 18, 20, something like that.
I want to put it,
and it's like this. If you, let's say that you donate $20 and make sure that, you know, because we get different donations, we have ongoing what we do. So
sure.
Any donation that you want, you can mark it specifically for turkeys, or you can say Thanksgiving, but mark it or let us know in some manner so we're able to do that.
Because if you donate for a turkey and I've already got the turkeys I need and it says turkey, I'm going to buy another turkey anyway because it's good in the freezer and I can cook it all year round because
right.
Just because it's turkey day don't mean I can't turkey every day.
Hey, that's right.
right. Okay.
Those tuning in right now, I want to encourage people out there to buy a turkey for the homeless. And you can send money market general funds. They need help every day of the year. They're feeding people continuously, ministering to them. Got to keep the lights on. Y'all doing a great work for Jesus. You give away clothes. You have a great program there where you feed, clothe, you even have that phone. People can make phone calls. Everything that a person needs.
I'm back. Let me cut in there real quick. The lights on part, yes, that's exactly it. And I was just speaking of that with Mike and Craig yesterday at church. Wintertime, I love winter, but I hate the electric bill at the church because it always, because of the heat, the in and out, in and out, in and out, and the cold temperatures. I don't like for it to get cold and already snowing like it has this year because if I can get to January, I only have two high electric bills. This year, it's already starting to snow and everything, so I'm going to have October, November, December, January, and February. And the bill there, the highest it's been for 1 month, just 1 month in the wintertime, is about $480-some.
Wow. But you know what? You got to have heat, folks. Many people coming in off the street.
Now, wait a second.
No, that's the gas bill. I'm sorry. I said electric, but you said lights, and it reminded me of the gas.
Right.
Okay. But so you pay gas and the electric bill. To run that heater costs money.
Yeah,
too.
But the electric goes down, the gas goes up.
Right, but the point is that $407 isn't the total bill for the month.
No, the air conditioner was pretty good this year.
But I'm talking about for winter. Just hear me out just 1 minute. So you're talking over what? With adding the electricity onto the gas in the wintertime, you're talking $600-$700.
Well, the electric goes down. It's usually under 100 because the gas bill's what's high.
To run everything in that building, the electric bill is under $100.
The highest it was this summer was only $385.
Okay. Anyway, but so it's still to heat for electric and gas. That's my point. People think, well, $400-some. Well, you got to add the electric on it, and then you got to add the water on it.
The water bill's pretty good over there. It's only like $60 a month.
You make it a very comfortable place for people to come, folks. It's warm. It's clean. There's good food. They get the gospel. They get help. And these are people that are being turned away in other places.
They can make a phone call anywhere in the United States.
Let me real quickly give you a couple of things that we do sometimes.
Yeah.
It depends on the person that walks in the door. Example, just recently I had to deal with, remember the last time we was on this program?
Oh, wow, yeah.
Okay, here's what happened. I told you that sometimes I have even had to stitch up knife wounds and do it with butterfly stitches because, that's all I had. And, knife wounds that a surgeon should be doing and, pray over them afterwards. And this is the kind of first aid that I do. Well, I hadn't had to do any knife wounds in a while. So we get on the program and we talk about that. And it's been a couple of years since I dealt with a knife wound. What happened, Mother?
That was the Monday program, and then on Tuesday when we went to church, you had two people that got stabbed that you had to butterfly stitch up. One that had went to the emergency room and got stitches, but then he tried to save the other guy when somebody hit him in the head with a bat or something, and when he tried to help him, he ripped his stitches all out, so you had to convince him after you put the butterfly stitches in to go back to the emergency room.
Well, okay, one gentleman, I had to repair his torn open knife wounds, and the other ones, his head wounds, well, it wasn't a knife wound, it was a baseball bat split that was over an inch long and clear through to the skull that you could see in, and I both of them, I use butterfly stitches, and it started with butterfly stitches, but the donated butterfly stitches were old when I got them, so I used tape and taped both of them back together. One guy that had the knife wounds that were reopened, I took him to the emergency room after I got done, and you know, he was all fixed up. But first I had to stop all the stuff and do that. And then the other guy, the head wound, I knew he wasn't going to no way go to a doctor. In fact, he came back about 2 weeks later and showed me his wound. It was all healed up. But that was clear through to the skull, over an inch and a half long, and however deep it is to get to the skull, and a bump on the head. And I had to fix him, and he didn't go to the doctor. I was his doctor, as to a lot of people. We get, when we have it, when the right donations come in, we're able to give over to people in Wichita. Nobody else does this. This is what we do. We do things that nobody else does. You walk into my place and you've got a cold and you've got your cough in your head off and you ain't got any money, I try to give you cough medicine. I try to give you cold medications, over-the-counter things that I buy at the Dollar Tree for a buck a bottle. You know what I'm saying? And so we give out those things. Other people don't do it. We give away, like now, from Michigan, I've got a whole bunch of winter that we're planning on giving away Thanksgiving, but way this weather's going, I don't know. But I've got a whole huge box of winter socks that I'm getting ready to give away, and heavy-duty gloves to give away. We're in need right now. We used to get emergency blankets.
We need blankets.
We need blankets.
Yeah.
We need all
medical
winter
supplies.
Stuff. Whatever the homeless, whatever you need for wintertime, brothers and sisters, that's what they need.
I like to say, just pray about it. Be led by the Father. If he tells you to send something, he's sending somebody for it.
Yeah, and King James Large Print Bibles. We're out of Bibles again. We can't keep Bibles. I mean, you know.
We can't keep anything.
Yeah, well, amen. You know, and there's the point. People ask you, well, how do you budget? Well, how does a place that does, we don't have a budget, because that would mean that you would have to have, or people that budget know what their income's going to be.
We can't put God in a box.
I have no idea. Yeah, well, that's an easy way to say something like, but most of the time, we don't get it until it's the absolutely point. I mean, tomorrow or the next day.
And sometimes they'll ask for it on a Tuesday and we'll get it on a Friday, or they'll ask on a Friday and we'll have it on a Tuesday. It's not always there when they first ask. We tell them, come back and check, and it's there the next time they come.
Well, right. And money-wise, like right now, you know, hey, I got to put gas in my truck when I take off to go over there. It's a 120-mile round trip, and you do too. I have $3 in my PayPal right now, and that's all the money that I have. I have no other money in the world. I'm nothing saved for. I'm 63 years old, nothing for retirement or anything like that. We put everything almost that we have, other than what it takes to live here at our house, we put everything in that mission church.
And you know, I'll vouch for you. You do exactly this. Folks, they give everything to help the needy and the poor. You know what? Jesus says, as we minister to those that are hungry, those that need clothing, shelter, we've ministered to Jesus. And when you support Messiah's Branch, you're ministering to Jesus. You're going to have a great reward coming for you. I believe in your mission, because y'all are the real deal. They've been faithful for many years, continuing strong for Jesus, when there'll be times where, you know, it's living by prayer. You don't know what's going to come on any day. They're living by faith. But you know what? God's able to touch people out there tuning in tonight. And some of you, you say, hey, you know what? I want to get behind this. I want to help. Brother, Sister Catlin, number one, give out your PayPal address. And then also, if someone would like to donate some specific supplies, let's say have them drop shipped to you, like the blankets or, you know, whatever, sleeping bags, you know, new clothing, give out a mailing address where you might be able to receive some of this as well. Cash always works best, folks, because they know how to buy this stuff cheap. But you may also want to donate something. Give that address out, too.
Okay. And I'll let you pipe in and tell them what you want in just a second. First thing I'll say to you folks is, if you're at the Omega Man website or whatever, go look at his newsletter. When you look at the newsletter and you go to several places in that newsletter is every email, the email addresses that it takes to get a hold of me. There's the physical address in which to mail. Like, say, if you want to mail a check or money order, it's right there. It's all in that newsletter. But if you go to any PayPal, you know, it'll ask you what the address, like, you know, what you just asked for. And that's my email address, which is elcm@massagebranch.org. Now, you can put that in, and you can do it. Now, also, yours is, you can also do PayPal and do, what is it, Sister Linda 7?
Sister Linda 8 at Outlook.
At Outlook.com. But ELCM, but either way, it'll get to the right thing. If you go ELCM@massagebranch.org, and it'll say, you know, what it's for, whatever, just make a slight note and say Thanksgiving or general, or if you don't put anything at all, we'll just use it for the next, for the most available need, you know, whatever's needed.
And you can mail it to 230 West 4th, Florence, Kansas, 66851. That's 230 West 4th. Florence, Kansas, 66851.
Yeah, and now remember, folks, you can donate online or over the telephone. You can mail a check or money order. And you can find all that information not only in the newsletter, but at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And my personal phone number is 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886. And I have no personal phone. That is my cell phone, which I give out on the air. Which, by the way, we do a radio program also. My wife will be joining with me. Tomorrow's the right day. Yeah, she'll be with me tomorrow. She does my first program with me 3 days a month. And we'll be doing a program at 5 p.m. Central live, or you can get it at the podcast or whatever. But if you go over at prophecyhour.com, then you can find out. That's our ministry hub. You can find everything you need to know about us over there. And remember, no donation, no matter, in any, all donations matter. Size doesn't matter. All donations help. But the Father notices all donations that come from where?
Your heart.
From your heart.
That's right.
And so that's why we always say pray about it, because we want the Father to give what, you know, is on our heart. And as far as that, you know what? You know, I'm 63 years old. I'm in good shape. I go to the gym. My wife is 7 years younger than me.
56.
And 56. Okay. But we have all kinds of energy. People are shocked at what we look like in human form. So
sometimes I can't hardly get around, but I'm up for two knee replacement surgeries that I'm trying to have the Lord heal first.
Yeah, amen. But the point is we're in pretty good shape. We don't plan on quitting anytime in the future. And we have the energy to do it and the way to do it. And you know what? People ask me, they say, when are you going to quit, Pastor Dan? And I said, when people quit coming in the door. Well, you know, when I open the door, they're already there waiting on me. And like I say, beyond first aid and cold medicines and Bibles and witnessing to and miracle prayers and food and a little bit of enjoyment for the people, it really depends on the person that walks in the door and says, hey, Pastor Dan, can you help me with this? Or Sister Linda, can you help me with this? And then, you know,
That's not meaning, don't take it like that's meaning that it depends on the person that comes in the door as to that person. It depends on the needs of the person that comes in the door. Because if we can help you, we're going to help you no matter who you are. If God sent you there, he sent you there for a reason.
And I'll tell you what's really funny, and I was telling this to Mike the other day. It's pretty amazing how we used to go, well, people would say, well, you want this or want that? And you say, well, I don't think we'll need that or whatever. Now, anytime somebody calls us and asks, well, hey, we got furniture or whatever, you know, okay, bring it down. We'll put it in the out under the awning or something. Because if somebody drops it off, then it's not, are we going to need it? It's I wonder who's going to come and pick that up.
Right.
Because the Father put it there for somebody. You know,
children's stuff, everything.
Everything. Children's stuff.
I just had somebody donate a baby bed, a pay pack, a pack and play, and a walker, and a box full of baby girl clothes. I had no idea. I said, sure, I'll put them in the shed. Somebody, 2 days later, somebody needed them. They got blessed. They getting ready to have a baby, had absolutely nothing. Now they have a baby bed, a walker, a pack and play, and a whole box full of brand new baby newborn clothes. And they look brand new, too.
Amen. Amen.
This is fantastic. So you got me excited.
Go ahead. I'll let you talk.
Hey, I'm getting ready to send you some Bibles and some sleeping bags. This is fun, folks, to be able to help people to give. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Folks, you and I could be in that situation. But for God, and maybe you and I have been in there. I have been so poor at one time in my life that I couldn't afford a broom to sweep my floor. Now, that's a true story. Folks,
Amen.
I was thankful for
I remember my mom saying when she was still alive, she'd say, I'm so broke I can't even buy myself a hamburger. And that's stuck in my head ever since the day she said it.
Yeah.
Folks, you can help people out there, and it's you'll be blessed because they're going to be blessed and be happy and smiling, and God is going to smile on you and I. Now, the PayPal is elcm@messiahsbranch.org. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
What about a mailing address if someone wanted to send, for example, some sleeping bags or blankets or other things directed to you?
Yeah. Give the home address.
230 West 4th, Florence, Kansas, 66851. 230 West 4th, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Florence. Not Lawrence, Florence.
What is that zip code again? West 4th, Florence, Kansas, KS. What is the zip code again?
66851.
Whose attention do they send it to? Messiah's Branch?
Messiah's Branch.
Send it to Messiah's Branch.
Okay.
You don't have to attention anybody. let's do this.
What about a what about an office phone number? Sometimes they require a number when you're shipping. Is there a phone number we can put on there?
Yeah, that's what I was going to get.
Okay.
And folks, remember this also about the phone number. If you can't remember any of this, if you just remember my phone number, call me. Or text me and let me know to call you back, because right now I filled out a sweepstakes, and so apparently I'm being barraged with all kinds of ads on my cell phone. But 316-619-4886. I don't generally turn it on until after 1 o'clock in the daytime, but it's on all night mostly. But 316-619-4886. Had the same cell phone number since about, 98 or 99, something like that. 316-619-4886. If you can't remember any of this, remember the phone number, and you can do that. The other thing that you need to remember about us is prophecy, like Bible prophecy, prophecy, hour, like hour of the day, .com. Prophecyhour.com. That has absolutely everything that you would need to get a hold of us. Also, if you go to the Omega Man newsletter, this latest issue that's out, and I intend to include my other newsletters ongoing for Omega Man.
Oh, that'd be great.
I decided to do it. Once I do something and I usually stick with it, it's just getting started. It's the problem. But anyway, if you go to this latest issue of Omega Man magazine and go through the newsletter, there's several places in there, especially my wife's page, that has the contact information for us also.
Dude, you still have WichitaHomeless.org, right?
No, it's WichitaHomeless.com.
Oh, it's Messiah's Branch. Okay, WichitaHomeless.com. You can find us there.
Right.
Brother,
but
Sister
let
Kevin.
Me say that you're giving them too many things to remember. One thing, it's on radio. And let me say this. If you go to prophecyhour.com, that is our hub for everything, you can find a link, and all you don't have to remember an email address. All you got to do is just click on it, and it'll take you right to the Messiah's Branch website, or it will take you to the Messiah's Branch, the Wichita Mission Church Facebook page, which has pictures and all those kind of things on it. And so you can find our YouTube pages from prophecyhour.com. You can find everything from one address, and that's prophecyhour.com. If you remember that, you got it beat. Back
Tell
to
me
you, Omega Man.
Also about your radio show. You all been broadcasting. When did you first start radio? Was it back in 2001 or was it earlier, 1998?
I started broadcasting in 2001, and then at that time I was just basically, giving messages over the phone. But in 2004, in 2004 I went to American Voice Radio,
right,
and I've been on American Voice Radio since 2004. I interview people that I have publicists send me. I've got mountains of books around me. Publicists send me books, and so do authors. Like, I don't know if you've ever heard of Joel Richardson.
Well,
he just
sure.
got a hold of me the other day. He's got a new book out. him and another guy.
Great.
He set up an interview for me to do it with him in November. He's got books on the way. He sent me the PDF. And then he had, and I'm excited about that book, but folks, you need to really be excited about his other book that's coming out this year. At the end of the year, in late December, he's going to come out with the first one, Proving the Real Mount Sinai, and an eight thing DVD set, and it's only book one, and there's going to be two books, and it's dynamite. Because let me tell you one thing about Joel Richardson. He does his research. I mean, Max, it isn't just minor. He goes to countries and does the research, and he has been to the Real Mount Sinai, and, you know, almost was that, and he did almost get shot. And but anyway, there's the point. So that's the kind of people we interview, those kind of people. And then, like I say, my wife and I do a program. We talk about various things. And I interview a lot of people. That's what we've been doing. Back to you, Omega Man.
What is your broadcast schedule? When do people tune in, and how do they listen to your radio show?
Oh, boy, here we go again. Prophecyhour.com. If you go to prophecyhour.com, it has a way to listen live. And you know what? I have no idea how many people listen on satellite, except once in a while they send me an email or something, because it goes out on satellite, and it's on an FM station in Oregon. But it also simulcasts live on the net. But most people, we take that and record it, and then we put it out as a podcast later on Thursday night about 10 o'clock. Well, the live program is at 5 p.m. Central, and there's an hour break after it's over with, and I do another one at 7 p.m. Central every Thursday, and that's tomorrow. So tomorrow at 5 p.m. Central, you tune in. You go to prophecyhour.com. It's got a link that says Listen Live. Go to the Listen Live link, and it'll tell you how to listen right then, or you can just wait till 9 o'clock at night, and there's links to the various places that pick it up. You could go to YouTube and do End Time Radio by Messiah's Branch. You can do End Time Radio by Messiah's Branch at Spotify, that everybody likes to go to. You can do it at, you can subscribe to it at iTunes. If there's a major podcast catcher out there, if you do End Time Radio by Messiah's Branch, you're going to pick it up. The last time I Googled it, I gave up. After about five or six places that were carrying the program, I just quit looking it up. Back to you.
Oh, that's awesome. Folks, check it out. One of my favorite radio broadcasts of all time is Messiah's Branch. They've been going strong for many years, and they've got awesome guests. It's amazing. You've got guests I can't get. I'm trying to tell you, you've got contacts. Brother Dan is a man. You need to check out his program. And prophecyhour.com, and then also, again, pray about supporting the ministry on a regular basis, and if you'd also like to help with a special Thanksgiving dinner, you can get a turkey for about $20. Give to them, and God is going to bless you. Brother and Sister Catlin, I appreciate both of you, and I'm looking at the schedule. I'm going to see you all back again on the 31st. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Right? I'm pretty sure that's what I got. I just don't have my calendar up, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. I know there was a week or something in between.
You've adopted me too?
Yes, ma'am.
Did I catch that right?
Yes, ma'am. I adopt both of you. You are my children in the Lord.
How much does a ticket cost to where you're at? If you adopt her, you want me to send her to you?
Sure. We'll take care of her.
Like a vacation out of the deal?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll take you right down the beach. It's just one big beach.
Hey,
wait till the baby's born. Till the baby's born. Then I'll come.
Great big congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You know, for the record, I know you're hoping for anything healthy, but, you know, most people want boy or girl. But how far off is the due date? Nine months, 8 months, six months?
Yes, sir. She is about 5.5 weeks pregnant. And boy or girl, we're happy to have either. Should the Lord tarry, we'd like to have two boys and a girl. So our first baby is, we call him Baby Warrior Prophet Jeremiah. The Lord gave us his name one night. It was amazing.
Welcome.
And he's 19 months old. And then this baby will be due, I guess, in about 9 months. So we're excited.
So you already got a little one then.
Yeah, yes, sir. We have one child. And Jeremiah, Ray Davis is his name. He's, again, 19 months old. And a beautiful little boy. We dedicated him to the Lord at a young age, and well, before he was born, and said, Lord, you know, use him for your service, and we believe God's going to use him. And you're welcome down here anytime. I had no idea I would end up in Bali. You know, I was in Georgia. Well, actually, when I first met you, Brother Dan, Sister Catlin, tuning in your program, I was listening to you from Cartagena, Colombia. That's a long time ago. And then I was in Costa Rica, Panama. And then the Lord called me, ended up saying, you know, pack your bags and come back home. And that was 2010. I made the official move back to Georgia, and I was there for about 3 years in Gainesville. One day got a call to come on out to Vegas, and so I was in Vegas almost 3 years, and then the Lord opened the door for this. So I've done a lot of moving, let me put it like that.
So where is he now? I think my head's up.
Right now we are in Bali, Indonesia.
Indonesia?
I'm on the other side of the globe in about 4.5 hours from Australia. Right next door is Malaysia. You got Singapore. Been to both of those. You got Hong Kong. I just went through the airport there. But, you know, it's actually a harvest field.
Yeah,
it wasn't
amen.
Particularly easy.
I'm
going
to stay home right now, though. It's too crazy out there to travel.
It's a little bit crazy, but you're welcome here anytime. And let me tell you something. I had an opportunity to win some souls for Jesus when I came here, and I'm just believing that's the beginning of many opportunities. You get an opportunity down here to pray for people, which is pretty amazing, you know.
Yeah.
Just about everybody.
For a reason.
We'll let you pray. We've got an opportunity to do deliverance down here, and so we're on a place they call the Island of the Gods. It's actually the Island of the Demons, but we're taking it back for Jesus, doing our part. There's 30,000 temples, altars, and shrines down here to demons. It's primarily Hindu in this island, but then the other percentage is Muslim, and then Indonesia is the largest Muslim country in the world. A lot of people don't realize that. And so, truly, there is a harvest field here, but the Christian church is growing. But because of some of the persecution, many of the churches are having to meet in hotels or shopping malls because they run the risk of maybe getting firebombed. So,
right.
That's usually in another place called Sulawesi or Jakarta. Bali, though, is... It's a comfortable place to be in terms of that kind of environment. You don't have to really worry about that as much. There was a big bombing here, though, that shut the whole island down for about 2 years. Nobody wanted to fly in here and for tourism. It was called the it was the Bali bombing. Y'all can look that up. And some terrorists came in and hit this club, killed a bunch of people. It's called the Sky Garden. But you know what? While there's risk every day here, there is anywhere in the world. And you know, we don't worry about it.
That's
true. We cover ourselves in the blood of Jesus, and we know we're going to occupy till Jesus comes home, or we die on the battlefield. So,
the safest place to be, brother, is in the Father's will, and
that's right.
Where He puts you, not
Amen.
Where we put ourselves, but
Amen.
Where He puts you.
That
Amen.
Gives me boldness and confidence Amen. To continue on, because I know God didn't bring us out of here to go down at this point. There's a lot of work to do. So, folks, I want to encourage you again to share this program tonight with your friends. Check out prophecyhour.com. Get behind Brother and Sister Catlin, and God will bless you. And would you all like to close us out in prayer tonight?
Yeah, sure. I kind of got a way that I'd like to close the program. Folks, I want you to remember one thing, and this you really need to remember. You remember that there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for your repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father.
Remember, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Yes.
That's right.
And praying. It's like praying for a Messiah's return.
Yeah. Lord our God, Father King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Goodbye and shalom to you, brothers and sisters. Goodbye, Omega Man.
Shalom.
Bye, Omega Man.
We love you both. God bless Israel, God bless President Trump, and God bless America.
And God bless
Amen.
Trump.
Amen. We'll see you next time. We love you all.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Praise the Lord. Folks, I started listening to the Messiah's Branch program in 2003. I was in Cartagena, and I was listening to Steve Quell's program, and then I found out about Messiah's Branch. And actually, that was 2003. Yeah, it was 2003. I may have still been in Costa Rica. I'm trying to think now. But I know for a fact, I was actually. I did. I started listening to it then, and then I went over to Cartagena, and I was still listening, and it was my lifeline because, you know, everything else was in Spanish. And I didn't have a Christian church to go to, and I felt even more distant than I had been living in Costa Rica. And so I would get my daily updates from Steve Quell and Messiah's Branch and look forward to those postings every day. And the next podcast would be uploaded, and I would go to the Internet Cafe. Boy, the Internet was slow, too. And it would take me a while. But if I could just get it downloaded, get on my laptop, take it back home, I could make it. And so they are the real deal. And what really inspired me to begin to give is because they, you know, they're transparent with you. They tell you, hey, you know, we need $50 and that'll buy so much hamburger meat, or we need so many eggs. And they'll tell you the true cost, and what you give goes right to helping the people. They use it up and then they replenish it. So it's all about, it's a giving ministry. They're helping people that live under bridges. Folks have no homes. Castaways. But then they minister to them. And when they do that, they're ministering to Jesus, it says. And they share the gospel. People give their lives to the Lord. And they provide a warm place, especially in wintertime, to come in, get out of the cold, get a hot meal. They have fresh coffee there. They even fix, they treat the homeless like kings. They cook great desserts. They even have a movie, Christian movies to play. And you know what? They fellowship and they share the gospel. They minister to their physical needs. They have a big wardrobe where people can go in and take clothes that they need. That reminded me, we haven't given blankets in many years to them. I'm going to do that. I forgot all about that. I got sidetracked. But that's exciting because you can donate military surplus blankets or buy them new, send them. They'll take anything and they give it right out to the people. People will use it. All-weather gear, sleeping bags, large print King James Bibles. I want to send some of those. I was just looking on Amazon. You can drop ship them right to Messiah's Branch and you can get a King James Bible brand new for $10, 20 cents. There may be even better deals than that. Bottom line is, whatever you'd like to give, whether it's one Bible, a pair of shoes, you want to buy a turkey for $20, whatever you want to give, you can earmark it in the notes or you can say general funds.